Is April Renee, and I represent VIC, Vaccine Injured Children, and I'm formerly the president of the Autism Autoimmunity Project.
Okay.
I started the organization in honor of my four-year-old, Autistic Angel, who passed away on June 13, 1999. The only reason I'm able to breathe today, after losing one of the most important things in my life, is because God made my mission in life very clear. I realized Casey was vaccine injured before she received the label of autism. And we say label because we believe this is what mainstream professionals want us to call these vaccine injured children. It implies that their conditions are cureless, causeless, random happening. Autism is currently 1 in 150 children today. 1 in 80 little boys, which isn't including other vaccine-related disorders like ADD and ADHD. I dedicated the rest of my life to doing whatever is necessary to protect these innocent children and the children yet to be from the autism epidemic. Next, please. The organization I'm representing, VIC, educates on the cause of epidemics of autism, ADD, ADHD, and all the disease labels, provide research and facts and able to make informed choices about vaccines. We introduce non-toxic, non-invasive treatments, and we are available for educational presentations. Now let us begin to carefully examine the practice of vaccinations. There's not any other procedure in medicine that's so boldly defended by our medical doctors, our health department, and our government. Credit's been given to vaccines for eradicating infectious diseases around the world, and they're considered a rite of passage into adulthood. Vaccines are politically correct, and parents who choose not to vaccinate are being labeled irresponsible and are said to put society at risk. The information shared with you today is an accumulation of over 20 years of research and is all scientifically documented. If you're a parent and chosen to vaccinate, I'm not here to judge you. Maybe this is your first exposure to the hidden truth about vaccines. I'm not telling you what to do. You must make your decision as a citizen to decide what goes into your baby's body as well as your own. Now, where did it all begin? We started using vaccines back in the 1940s, but most people didn't receive the first ones until the 1950s. And then Congress passed the Immunization Assistance Act in 1965. And then in the 1950s, next please, there was an accumulation of three vaccines, which were the smallpox, polio, and tetanus vaccine. And then if you follow the recommended 2004 schedule, if you notice an accumulation of 45 vaccines your children would get by 6 months of age, 64 by 18 months of age, 74 between 4 and 6, and that number has increased. That was as of 2004. Now they're recommending the new rotavirus vaccine for 2, 4, and 6 months of age, as well as the flu shot, and then they're now recommending a new human papillomavirus for the teenage little girls between 9 and 11, I believe they're giving it. But these diseases include measles, mumps, rubella, hepatitis B, chicken pox, which is a varicella zoster, polio, HIV, which is Homofluenza B, pneumococcal, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, and as I mentioned, the flu shot's now being recommended for babies at 6 months of age and older. We're told our children are not able to go to school without all the mandatory vaccines. This is simply not true. There's exemptions in almost every state that allows your children to get into school without these vaccines. Now, if you believe like I believe that God's perfect and he gives us everything that we need, fever, vomiting, diarrhea, and with the vaccinations, we're bypassing those defenses and directly into the bloodstream injecting biological toxins. If you believe that's against your religious belief, you go to your local health department and you get a religious exemption. It's a constitutional right. It doesn't matter where you worship or who you trust, I mean, whatever. It's your own personal belief. It's a constitutional right. The school board must accept that exemption. Next, please. There's also what's called medical exemption that must be authorized by an MD and is next to impossible to obtain. And then again, the religious, if you have strong convictions about the practice of vaccination being against your religious beliefs. And then there's also what's called philosophical exemptions, which is the easiest way to avoid them and has passed in many states. I'm not sure if Tennessee is one of them, but I know Florida is not. But it is the easiest way to get this. Now, as the federal government makes vaccine mandates, each state has the option to accept those recommendations. If your children have asthma, seizures, diabetes, or any other chronic immune disease, all the literature from the pharmaceutical companies say that vaccines are contraindicated. Most doctors pay little attention to this and continue vaccinating. Again, under the Constitution, we have the final say, what our babies, as well as what we receive. Next, please. Now we're going to look at the amazing immune system. And when a person gets exposed to an infectious disease or normal childhood disease, the point of entry is through the mucous membranes or nose and mouth. The immune system is a very complex system involving the nervous, digestive, lymphatic system and all the detoxing organs of the body. At the initial exposure, your immune system communicates to all the other parts of the body informing it something new or foreign is present. The body is designed to identify, contain, and eliminate. When this invader reaches the gut, the body has a high-quality weapon system in place and ready for combat. Often this is when you feel yucky, with headaches, fever, achy all over. Are you sick, or is your body acting appropriately? The fever and sweats are all part of a healthy immune response. During this process, your immune system learns for future reference to this virus that you're exposed to. Childhood diseases actually prepare the body for adulthood and survival. Now, the allopathic or the medical model does not recognize this process. In fact, they call it sickness. And their way to deal with it is by giving us vaccinations, pharmaceuticals, synthetics. Next, please. According to Dr. Chem O'Shea, who's the author of The Safety of Human Blood, he quotes, natural immunity can be transferred from mother to fetus. Natural immunity is only true immunity. It only happens after being exposed to the disease. In contrary, artificial immunity cannot be passed from mother to fetus. Artificial immunity is temporary. And artificial immunity carries a high chance of reinfection. This is the reason for the unproven modern concept of booster shots. Studies showing efficacy of booster shots have never been performed on any vaccine. Next, please. Now we're going to look at the vaccine by injection, the philosophy of vaccination, and how it differs from the normal process of exposure. Vaccines injected directly into these babies' bloodstream bypass the normal method of exposure. An example of this is the hepatitis B vaccination, which is now given to newborn babies within 3 hours of birth at the hospital. It changes both the time and method of exposure to this disease. Normal age of exposure to hepatitis B disease is when you're a sexually active adult. Normal method of exposure is only through blood or body fluids that can be transferred through blood transfusions, IV drug use, or sexual activity. When these babies get this injected within 3 hours of birth, not only are you catching the immune system and the nervous system off guard, again, you're changing the time and method of exposure to this disease. This newborn's just into the world where it would have gradually been exposed to the environment the way God intended, and then meanwhile, the fact that they put a thermometer under their arm, they're putting a needle in their arm. The hepatitis B vaccination was licensed without adequate proof of long-term safety study. Studies include a few thousand children who were only monitored for 5 days. At best, researchers say the immunity will last 7 years. So why are we giving it to newborn babies? Next, please. The American Association of Physicians and Surgeons called for a moratorium on the mandatory Hep B vaccine for children, and they quote, the risk of a serious reaction to the Hep B vaccine is 100 times greater than the risk of the disease. Hepatitis B is usually transmitted again through blood, shared needles, and multiple sex partners. They also quoted, a newborn is considered extremely low risk for contracting the Hep B infection. Now we're going to look at autism because everybody knows or has one today, such an epidemic, and it's impossible to have a genetic epidemic. It's an increasingly common developmental disability that typically appears during the first 3 years of life. Frequently, a developmental pattern is described depicting a period of normal development followed by a slow or steady regression or loss of skills. They admit that the cause or causes of autism are unknown. Tragically, research has been limited to the area of genetics since the 1940s when Tanner first described the disorder. The sign-symptom comparison varies from child to child. Some have psychiatric disturbances, speech, language, and hearing problems, sensory abnormalities, cognitive impairments, unusual behaviors, visual impairments, physical disturbances. The central nervous system alters sensitivity to an abnormal processing of sensory and expressive information. Their immune system decreased resistance to infection. Gastrointestinal, abnormal digestion, increased colon permeability, resistant bacteria, yeast, parasites, and toxins are produced. If you notice in this chart here, as the number of vaccines rise, the autism cases soared. And before we dissolved the nonprofit, the Autism Autoimmunity Project, we were contacted by some larger autism organizations who claimed that because the mercury, the thimerosal, and the vaccinations was reduced, that autism was decreasing. So our founder of the organization contacted the Department of Education of every state, and we received the real numbers and put these charts together, three of them, showing clearly, even though the mercury was reduced, next please, even though the mercury was reduced, the autism cases were still increasing. And the 1 in 80 little boys study was just the last couple of months they put together. So it's still, to this minute, increasing. You can get to the next two slides just showing the increase is still happening. Now, Congressman Dan Burton was the chairman of government reform, and he's been leading the fight because two of his grandchildren were injured by vaccinations. His grandson's labeled autistic, and his granddaughter stopped breathing after the hepatitis B vaccine. He held hearings in 2000 investigating the licensing, regulation, and safety of childhood vaccines, the anthrax vaccines given to our servicemen, and Gulf War syndrome. He then went on to hold hearings on the autism epidemic, looking for the cause. What he discovered was not only shocking to him, but also criminal. He realized the pharmaceutical companies knew that the mercury had the potential for neurological problems, and they had removed it from dog vaccines back in the 1980s, but they still used it in our children's vaccines. He also discovered in his hearings there were 50 vaccines that exceeded the safety level set by the Environmental Protection Agency. Next, please. This is where he requested a vaccine recall. In a letter to HHS Secretary Donna Shalala, Congressman Dan Burton, Chairman of the House Committee on Government Reform, requested a recall of all vaccines containing thimerosal. The mercury-based product thimerosal is added to the vaccines as a preservative. In his letter to Secretary Shalala, he states, "We all know and accept that mercury is a neurotoxin, and yet the FDA has failed to recall the 50 vaccines that contain thimerosal. On their own website, the FDA states lead, cadmium, and mercury are examples of elements that are toxic when present at relatively low levels." He said, "Our children are the future of this country. As a government, we have a responsibility to do everything within our power to protect them from harm, including ensuring that vaccines are safe and effective. Every day that mercury-containing vaccines are made on the market, another day HHS is putting 8,000 children at risk," he quoted. "This is cumulative mercury exposure to childhood vaccines from 18 to 36 months old were surveyed, and it showed a huge increase from 1989 to 1996. And this is California's reported rate of autism, and as the mercury exposure increased, so did the autism. This is one of the first statistics and charts put together by the Institute of Medicine showing clearly the increase in correlation with the mercury." Dr. Boyd Haley, he's a mercury specialist at Kentucky University, and he researches the IOM. And he found that the thimerosal, the mercury, stops enzyme function in the brain. Testosterone in males acts as a catalyst with thimerosal, and that's why autism is 4 times more in boys than in girls. Children with autism hold on to the mercury. And he also found that Alzheimer's disease is caused from mercury toxicity. He believes Alzheimer's is just adult autism. The flu shot they give us as adults, all the vaccines they recommend for adults, is also loaded with these toxins. Now, confirming his research is Dr. Mark Geyer, who's a private geneticist, and he quoted, "When a baby goes into the doctor's office for a well baby checkup, that child receives 62.5 micrograms of a very lethal heavy toxic metal. Remember, children get booster shots, we multiply that by 3, and a fully vaccinated 6-month-old child will get a total of 187.5 micrograms. Even single-dose vials contain thimerosal." He was actually pretty upset about that because he helped to formulate and make the Rogam shot, which is something they give to pregnant women now. I don't know if you guys have heard about that. But it also is loaded with mercury. And he was surprised because he checked it for the preserve for the heavy metals. And I spoke to him on the phone right after he discovered that it was loaded with these preservatives. And the reason they use the mercury supposedly is because they want to make more than one dose per vial so they can give more than one child. They use it as a preservative. The single dose vial should not have any mercury in it. And he was actually very angry, and he said, "April, they're not doing this as a preservative, they're doing it as a sterilizing agent. These vaccines are so contaminated," he told me, and we tried to get him money to help to prove that, but unfortunately we were just a bunch of moms that weren't very good fundraisers, but he found that the heavy metals were also in the single-dose vaccines. He also quoted, "Because of the mandated flu shot, a child in 2004 received more mercury or thimerosal than ever before. Now, mercury is one of the problems of vaccinations, and that's the one we've heard about on the media. Another problem, Dr. Andrew Wakefield's finding, he's an inflammatory bowel disease specialist, published more than 100 articles in medical literature, testified at vaccine hearings, and consistently finds a live measles virus in the gut of autistic children via the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. That's three live viruses. It has no heavy metals in it. It doesn't need any preservatives. He was also the first gastroenterologist to successfully transplant a colon. He was a very recognized gastroenterologist at the Royal Free Health and Medical School in London, England, and had won many awards for his research and technology. We actually sponsored him in Florida back in 2001, and 600 parents of autistic children showed up, and we raised $40,000 for his research. He started to see children in his practice with severe bowel problems that were very unusual. He noted they all had one thing in common, autism. So he studied them with a scope internally and found that they were literally falling apart inside. They had leaky gut syndrome, he called it. They weren't able to digest proteins, and their brains were getting nutrients and zinc in order to function. At that time, he studied 15 children and released his scientific paper in 1999. The medical community not only removed all of his funding, but eventually he lost his license. It's here in the States, in Texas, actually, with a Thoughtful House Research Center, and cannot get a medical degree. He can only do research because he went up against the sacred cow, unfortunately. He actually found people who received the measles vaccine were 2.5 times more likely to develop ulcerative colitis and 3 times more likely to develop Crohn's disease when compared to unvaccinated controls. That was in the Lancet Medical Journal. Dr. Singh is confirming his research, and he used to be the associate professor of neuroimmunology at Utah State University. And he said that the existence of the MMR antibodies and anti-brain antibodies in autistic children is not coincidental. Their presence is related. He's finding elevated measles antibody titers in most of his autistic patients. He found one related to the vaccine and not found in normal control children. We sponsored him in Florida back in 2002, and 300 people were able to see his research, and we raised $10,000 for his research as well. Only the parents have been able to raise money for these researchers that have proven the vaccine connection. And Dr. Ed Yazbach is another wonderful researcher and pediatrician, or ex-pediatrician, who's retired now. And what he does is he takes the studies that come out that we hear about on TV, the ones that say there's no connection between autism and the vaccines, he actually takes those studies and breaks them down and reveals the conflicts of interest in them. And he reveals the flaws, how the pharmaceutical companies are funding them, and just all the little details, unfortunately. And this is where he responded to a Cochrane review study where there was no connection to the MMR autism connection. Anyway, he's a U.S. board certified pediatrician, an autism expert with numerous peer-reviewed publications, and he quotes, "The evidence supporting an MMR autism link was carefully collected and duplicated and is rock solid. It is certainly not biased opinion, speculation, or suspicion. In hundreds of children with post-MMR regressive autism, a specific type of enterocolitis has been identified by many investigators in several countries. Some of the affected children have evidence of measles virus genomic RNA in their cerebrospinal fluid, some in the gut wall, and some in both sites. In many of the sequences obtained were consistent with being vaccine strains, and in these children there was no history of exposure to the wild measles." He also said many affected children have specific patterns of urinary polypeptides, high serum measles and MMR antibody titers, and elevated myelin basic protein autoantibody levels. In fact, it would be safe to say that it's impossible to find one normal child who has evidence of both the MMR antibody and myelin basic protein autoantibodies in the serum or cerebral spinal fluid, or one child who regressed after the MMR vaccination who does not have at least one of the following: a typical enterocolitis of autism, a suggestive pattern of urinary polypeptides, evidence of measles virus genomic RNA, elevated serum measles virus antibody, MMR antibody, or myelin basic protein autoantibodies. He said these are not suspicions, these are facts, rock solid facts. Now, probably the most important research It's the next research I'm going to show you. And he's actually agreed to start speaking with Gary and I. We just did our first presentation in Arizona a couple of months ago, and we just did last week in California. And this guy is unbelievable. He used to work with the FDA, and he's finding the smoking gun to the autism epidemic. He's actually finding why some, the predisposition the autism world talks about, why some kids are autistic and some aren't, why there's some unvaccinated children that are being labeled autistic as well. His research explains why, and I'll send it to you now. He has the Center for Complex Infectious Diseases, and he's an award-winning pathologist and immunologist. And he discovered that a typical virus infecting both children and adults who exhibited neurological, psychiatric, and autoimmune disorder symptoms. He showed that viruses exist but are not seen by the immune system, and he claimed the term stealth, which just means hidden, adapted viruses. Based on double-blind studies, he's confident these viruses account for the autism epidemic. He also said that some self-adapted viruses came from the African green monkeys and were therefore a likely contaminant of the monkey kidney tissue used for production of the polio vaccine that I received, that we received as children, and passed down to our children. And that's why they're predisposed, some are injured and some aren't. They have this active viral infection from the monkeys they use. They use the kidneys of the monkeys to produce the vaccine, the oral polio vaccine. So his research is powerful, and nobody wants to listen to him. We're one of the only ones that finally got him up on stage and got him speaking. Anyway, he also said the FDA detected DNA of the monkey viruses in 3 of 8 lots of polio vaccines released in 76, but have yet to follow up on this finding. Self-adapted viruses have been recovered from the blood, cerebral spinal fluid, urine, throat swabs, brain biopsies, and tumor samples from patients with various neurological, psychiatric, autoimmune, allergic, neoplastic diseases, and now passes readily between humans and domestic pets. It is now known that the stealth virus can infect many organs, but the brain is especially prone to manifest the effects of even limited, localized cellular damage. He said these viruses fail to be effectively recognized by the immune system and lead to neuropsychiatric illnesses, including and not limited to autism. He also told me the federal government prohibited his clinical testing for stealth viruses in 2002, and the IOM refused to publish a talk he presented the same year. The immune system is not the only defense against viruses. He discovered an alternative cellular energy pathway, that's a plant derivative, non-pharmaceutical, about an $11 product, that can suppress self-adapted viruses. He developed products with ACE activity in the Institute of Progressive Medicine, in which we're becoming a supporting component. He developed a cellular energy-based approach that has been proven to be very effective at suppressing conventional viruses, including herpes, shingles, and genital warts. Individuals wishing to participate in any of these trials should contact his website, s3support.com, or you can contact Gary or I, because we're very good friends. So this is how I met Dr. Martin. If you notice, in the top right-hand corner, June 21st, my daughter passed 2 weeks before that, and I was sitting at the computer starting my monkey press group, and I get this fax. If you would have met my daughter Casey, she was a little girl that didn't speak only. You would have barely even realized she was injured. Thank God. You know me, an angel. Her mausoleum says God's dearest angel on it. And all I can do is thank him for the 4 years he gave me. But I had to literally get 3 neurologists and literally beg the last one to give her the label of autism because she was very much a part of my world. So if you would have been around her, you would have had to, about an hour after being around her, you would have realized something was wrong because she didn't speak. So other than that, she was not very severely autistic. But if you notice in the results that he faxed to me, she had severe stealth virus in her system, which is that monkey virus that I received and passed down to her. He said the term stealth has been applied to a molecularly heterogeneous grouping of a typically structured, vacuolating cytopathic viruses that cause persistent systemic infection, often with neuropsychiatric manifestations in the absence of significant antiviral inflammation. The appearance, formation, progression, and or host range of a stealth virus-associated cytopathic effect, which he calls CPE, are generally distinguishable from the CPE associated with common conventional human cytopathic viruses, including human cytomegalovirus, which is a monkey virus, Human herpes simplex virus, varicella zoster virus, herpes 6, adenoviruses, intraviruses, including coxsackie and echoviruses, measles, and influenza. Electron microscopy, serology, and molecular-based assays can be used to further differentiate self-viruses from conventional viruses and to individually characterize different self-virus isolates. He said the patient's sample was tested using established viral culture conditions and allowed the expression of the characteristic self-virus-induced cytopathic effect. The assay showed the rapid development of a CPE consisting predominantly of foci of cells of vacuolated cytoplasmic changes. The positive CPE is interpreted as evidence of an active infection with a stealth virus. While the significance of this positive effect needs to be considered in the context of the patient's symptoms, it can provide an explanation for multi-system illnesses, including symptoms and signs of an atypical viral encephalopathy, which is just swelling of the brain. Casey ended up dying from bacterial meningitis that went undiagnosed, which is swelling of the brain. The pediatrician that was treating her at the time knew about Dr. Martin's research, and he came into the hospital and requested a blood vial and a cerebrospinal fluid vial and sent it to the Center for Complex Diseases. And then again, 2 weeks after her death, I received this fax. Wonderful, wonderful man. He has a heart of gold that just wants to help save humanity for no personal interest whatsoever, no selfish motive at all. And he's a wonderful man, wonderful. And thank him for speaking with us. Next, please. Dr. Bernard Rimland, he was the director of the Autism Research Institute, the founder of the Autism Society of America, the editor of the Autism Research Review International, and he was internationally recognized as a leading expert in autism. He passed away recently. He quotes, "The vaccine manufacturers, CDC, FDA, and the various medical associations have failed miserably in their duty to protect our children. Rather than acknowledge their role in creating the immense catastrophic rise in autism, these organizations have resorted to denial and obstruction. They stand to lose their credibility, and billions of dollars in liability suits will soon reach our courts." Although that statement is not true, because in the last year they passed a bill protecting them from liability. So if a baby is vaccinated and literally dies right there in front of them, they are not held responsible today. He also quoted, "The truth must and will emerge. It's long overdue." And then he gave me an amazing statement for a Washington, D.C. press conference we had titled, "The Autism Epidemic is Real and Excessive Vaccinations Are the Cause." Vaccine poisoning. How do we become so conditioned? According to Dr. Robert Mendelson, who was a renowned pediatrician for 30 years and the author of A Medical Heretic and How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor, he quotes, "The pediatrician serves as the recruiter for the medical profession. He indoctrinates your child from birth into a lifelong dependency on medical intervention. The best way to raise a healthy child is to keep him or her away from the doctors except emergency care. Most doctors ignore the fact that the human body is a wondrous machine with the astonishing capacity to repair itself, like a broken arm or a cut in the finger." He said the first stage of the indoctrination is the well baby visit, a cherished ritual of the pediatrician that enhances their income, but there's nothing constructive for your child. Well baby visits are worthless. The purpose of the pediatrician is to vaccinate your child. If you think about it, I'm 42. I was a family doctor when I was a little girl. Pediatricians are vaccine clinics. They would not have a business without vaccinations. So for them to allow me to come into their office or even to acknowledge the possibility of vaccines being a problem is not going to happen, unfortunately. His 19th chapter of his book, and I have the book on the table, by the way, wonderful book if you have young children, he quotes, "The greatest threat of childhood diseases lies in the dangerous and ineffectual efforts made to prevent them through mass immunizations." Now, what are in vaccines besides the mercury? We've learned these multi-component vaccines, as well as a single vaccine given together at one time, contain many, many toxins. Vaccines contain ingredients such as antifreeze, phenol, which is used as a disinfectant, formaldehyde, which is cancer-causing and used to embalm, aluminum, associated with Alzheimer's disease and seizures, glycerin, toxic to the kidney, liver, can cause lung damage, gastrointestinal damage, and death, lead, cadmium, sulfate, yeast proteins, antibiotics, acetone, which is a nail polish remover, neomycin, streptomycin, then of course everybody's heard about the mercury, thimerosal, more toxic than mercury, a preservative still used in many vaccines, not easily eliminated, can cause severe neurological damage as well as other life-threatening autoimmune diseases. They're grown and strained through human or animal tissue like monkey and dog kidney tissue, that's why we call it monkey pus, chick embryo, calf serum, human diploid cells, which are the dissected organs of aborted fetuses, pig blood, horse blood, rabbit brain, and we can go on and on and on. Now, the problem with animal cells is that during the serial passage of the virus, the contaminating RNA and DNA can be transferred from one host to another. An example of this is from 1955 to 1961 with SV40. This stands for simian virus number 40, meaning the 40th monkey virus found. Congressman Burton held hearings in 2003 and uncovered that SV40 was associated with brain, bone, and lung tumors found in children and adults today from vaccinations. They're actually finding SV40 in cancer tumors. New information released during the testimony suggested the live oral polio vaccine used until the late 1990s may have been contaminated. These vaccines are still out there in the doctor's offices today. Do you think the FDA, the licensing board for vaccines, should have stock and patents on vaccines being developed? Do you think having financial ties could possibly influence the decision-making process? Congressman Burton found many problems in his congressional hearings. A federal government health agency official taking money from or owning stock in the pharmaceutical companies. Some even worked to develop the vaccines themselves, thus having a professional and financial investment in their adoption. And these same people were sitting on the government health agency review boards making decisions concerning the vaccinations. One example was in a testimony. I have the minutes from a CDC study group meeting on the hepatitis B vaccine held in March 97. It should be noted that the afternoon session of this meeting was chaired by Dr. Robert Scharr of Merck, a pharmaceutical company. Another example, Professor David Illerman, whose study said fears of a link between the MMR vaccine and autism were unfounded, admitted that he and Dr. Helen Bedford had been given money by drug giant SmithKline Beecham in past years Merck, Merck Sharp and Dohme, other pharmaceutical companies. Other conflicts of interest? Medical doctors are trained by the drug companies, both throughout medical school and later in their offices. Medical textbooks teach drug prescribing, and all this information is derived from research conducted by the pharmaceutical companies whose only goal is to sell drugs. Drug companies own the health care system, or as Gary says, sick care system. You don't have health insurance, you have sick insurance. In this way, they can supervise and design the delivery of their products. If a patient wants something other than drugs, they must turn to something outside the medical establishment because our physicians represent the pharmaceutical companies. The scandals associated with the pharmaceutical companies have created fear in the public, and doctors do as they are told or they lose their license. All of our research is about a lost funding or lost their license when they went up against the sacred cow. Modern medicine views only short-term reactions and little attention is paid to long-term. Politically, it wouldn't be useful to look for the long-term effects because studies are conducted by the vaccine manufacturers and the government. They both have a vested interest in the pharmaceutical product and commitment to promote the vaccine campaign. They have no reason to reveal vaccine toxicity. The same companies that make and sell these drugs fund their own research. Research and marketing go hand in hand. The desire for profits has shaped the law. The Vaccine Industry Act was established not because the vaccine industry admitted to its faults and lack of research in the damaged catastrophes, but because the pharmaceutical companies needed protection against million-dollar lawsuits. The compensation laws were put into place to protect the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors, not the injured victims. Individuals on the advisory committee own patents for vaccines under consideration. The CDC grants conflicts of interest waivers to every member of their advisory committee. The committee chair, Dr. John Molden, owns stock in Merck, one of the largest pharmaceutical companies. The advisory committee has no public members. A member of the CDC advisory committee, Dr. Paul Offit, disclosed that he received $350,000 grant money from Merck to develop the rotavirus vaccine, in which he chairs the patent, which is pulled 6 months after it was licensed because of severe problems. That vaccine, the rotavirus vaccine, was just recently put back on the market for 2, 4, and 6 months of age babies. I actually blamed that doctor specifically for the death of my daughter, because when I rushed her to the emergency room, bacterial meningitis, they misdiagnosed her and thought she had what that vaccine was causing, which is called intussusception. So they wasted all day, literally doing sonograms of her stomach, and she couldn't talk, so she couldn't tell, it's not my stomach, it's my head, and bacterial meningitis duplicates every 20 minutes. So by the time they realized what she had, it was too far gone. That same doctor gets paid to go around the country teaching doctors that vaccines are safe, according to the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Harry Greenberg, chair of the FDA, owns stock in Adiron and Chiron, both vaccine manufacturers. And then after 9/11, they set the provision protecting the pharmaceutical companies from liability into our Homeland Security bill and our BioShield bill and a couple of other bills. And that nonprofit that I recently dissolved was the organization that fully funded both rallies in front of the Capitol and demanded for the removal of that provision. And fortunately, at that time, we were able to succeed. The night before the rally, I would literally get a phone call saying they'd removed it because they knew we had a bunch of moms up there. Moms on a mission. You don't mess with our cubs. And they knew they had to remove it, and they did. But unfortunately, we ran out of money, so when they went to pass it again about a year ago, maybe within the last 2 years, unfortunately, they were able to pass the bill. No other organization would even donate a podium. I couldn't get any other organization to help me at all financially. We had to completely fund the rallies ourselves. Everybody's afraid of the pharmaceutical companies, or most people, should I say. We are not. The website clearly says the task ahead of us is never as great as the power behind us. God helps them. This battle is way too big for you and I. Us parents are not searching for answers. And nobody knows our babies better than we do. And these doctors are proving what us parents already know. We don't have 40 or 50 years of finances because we're in a race against time. Again, you can't have a genetic epidemic. We're wiping out a generation because the welfare of our children comes last and profits for a product like vaccines come first. Federal health agencies like the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, the NIH, National Institutes for Health, and the Center for Disease Control, CDC, are more interested in promoting and regulating vaccines and in finding answers for our babies. One thing we realize is a serious conflict of interest. Parents are clueless about these congressional hearings. It's been happening since 1999. Congressman Burton's been having hearings every year, bringing the researchers up on the stand and exposing all the conflicts of interest. We never hear about it. All we hear on TV is vaccines are safe and effective. Meanwhile, there's no science proving it. We have science, we have some kinds of opinions rather than solid science. If you notice on television, all we see is drug commercials. Every other commercial is a drug commercial. So they are the biggest sponsors, so you're not going to see Gary or I on Oprah Winfrey, unfortunately. I should be optimistic because hopefully one day you will, but as of right now, no. Congressman Burton uncovered in one of his hearings that there's been no long-term safety studies performed on vaccinations since 1929. There are currently 200 new vaccines in the pipeline, and many will be mandated. No long-term safety studies have been or will be performed on these vaccinations. Meanwhile, we're required to inject sometimes 9 diseases simultaneously into these underdeveloped immune systems at 2 months of age, before the immune system is even developed. And then, of course, they're recommending, besides breast milk, which is a natural vaccine from mother to child, which is why God made our breast, I believe, they're giving artificial milk that they can't duplicate. So they're not even getting the natural immune in there, pumping these vaccines in them. It's devastating. We're wondering why we have a walking generation of zombies today, literally, except for the parents who homeschool. So I thank you for doing that, whoever's doing that. I'm a high, firm believer in homeschooling as well. But remember, you don't have to. I mean, I recommend homeschooling, but it's not a necessity. You can get your children in school without the vaccination. There's also a press release by the American Medical Association validating that 1 in 6 children today have learning disabilities. And that was a couple of years ago, so I'm sure now it's even more than that. Is the cure worse than the disease? Can vaccines cause disease? Are we better off having the infectious diseases and getting the shots? Is it possible that we're poisoning our children in the name of health? Congress passed the Immunization Assistance Act in 1965, and many diseases increased due to the vaccinations. This is cases reported 3 months prior to vaccinations compared to cases reported 3 months after the vaccine campaign. And if you notice, chickenpox doubled, measles almost tripled, mumps doubled, and scarlet fever also doubled. And that was, again, after they introduced the vaccination, it increased. polio. We're told polio vaccine was the best thing since medicine began. They based all their truth on that. And when you look at the actual charts, and this is in Neil Z. Miller books that I have on the table, cases of polio increased after the mass vaccination. These are figures for 5 New England states from 54 and 55, and if you notice, it increased in Maine, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont, almost doubled in each state. Nearly all cases of polio since 1980 were caused by the oral polio virus vaccine, according to the USA Today. There has not been a new case of polio since 1980, except from the vaccination. No live polio. And they're still giving the vaccine to this day, which is little babies. Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Where are we here? Vaccine administrative programs for measles and whooping cough need to be reconsidered in light of recent outbreaks in countries with good vaccination coverage. The CDC also admits that all cases of polio in the U.S. after 79 were caused by the vaccination. And the inventor of the vaccine, Dennis Salk, himself testified in a hearing that all cases of polio in the U.S. are the result of the vaccine, again, rather than the disease. Okay? The rubella vaccine arthritis. In a study of adult women who were vaccinated against rubella, 55% developed arthritis or joint pain within 4 weeks. Now remember, autoimmune is just the body not distinguishing self from non-self, and it attacks. So it can either happen immediate, like with autism, ADD, or ADHD, or it can lay dormant, and then later in life, when the body's stressed, when the immune system's suppressed, and Gary's going to go into this more, it can come out later in life as well. Next, please. Dr. Harris Coulter, he's a medical historian with vaccine researcher, speaks 7 different languages, author of A Shot in the Dark and Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality. In a congressional testimony on vaccines in juvenile onset 1 type 1 diabetes, he states, after Congress signed the Immunization Assistance Act, doctors began to encounter a whole new group of neurologically defective 4 to 5-year-olds. By 1975, activity-limiting chronic conditions was up 44%. Most of these conditions are associated with post-encephalitic syndrome. He said chronic illness in children skyrocketed due to the childhood vaccines. Specifically, respiratory disease went up 47%, asthma went up 55%, mental and nervous system disorders went up 80%, hyperactivity, behavioral disorder, and drug abuse went up 300%, disease of the eyes and ears 120, hearing loss 129, and disabled children went from 1 million to over 2 million by 1960. And again, that number is much, much, much higher today. He also said in his congressional hearing that there was an increase in type 1 diabetes of 300% in the last 15 years. He said the rubella and mumps component of the vaccine had been implicated in causing type 1 diabetes. The pertussis toxin secreted by the microbe called Bordetella pertussis causes whooping cough. The vaccine actually causes the whooping cough. It's also called the islet activating protein because it acts specifically and directly on the islets of the pancreas, which are the insulin-producing parts of the pancreas. In the first case, the outcome is hypoglycemia, and in a later stage, it's type 1 diabetes, he quoted. Dr. Howard Ernovitz. He has a degree in microbiology and immunology. He's a director of molecular and cellular engineering at ZomaCorp, senior scientist at the Institute of Cancer, and a medical research institute of San Francisco. And he believes that HIV is a monkey hybrid virus that was in the polio vaccine given to 26 million Americans from 55 to 61 in the form of a sugar cube. They say we get HIV from monkeys, but they're not telling us how we're getting HIV from monkeys. Dr. Martin, in our presentation last week, literally showed the monkeys, and he showed the kidneys, how the vaccine was ran through their kidneys, called an SIV, which led to human HIV. Clearly, it's being proven the vaccines are causing HIV. He also believes that the polio vaccine was used for experimentation in Africa, and that HIV is not the cause of AIDS. He developed a 10-minute blood and urine test for HIV antibodies, and he discovered that the live oral polio vaccine, that sugar cube, was contaminated with 26 retroviruses from the African monkeys, and that's one of the main causes for the huge increase in cancers today. Bureau polio vaccines contain the SV40, the monkey virus, which is a cancer-causing virus. And as I mentioned before, they're finding SV40 in cancer tumors. He also said the polio vaccine's been out 55 years, and yet there are very few long-term safety studies performed. Now again, autoimmunity, the body not attacking itself, Gary will explain later. It's more just doing what God intended for it to do. It's doing its job. They label it as autoimmune. We all know someone with some autoimmune label they slap on us, such as cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, depression, schizophrenia, anxiety disorder, seizures, developmental delays, autism, ADD, ADHD, lupus, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Crohn's disease, OCD, arthritis, diabetes. My father died from ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and his flu shot every year. IBS, bipolar, Lyme disease, thyroiditis, endometriosis, and we could be here all day with all the different labels the pharmaceutical, the medical doctors and the pharmaceutical companies come up with, and then of course they have a drug or more than one drug prescribed for these. We're led to believe that all of these ingredients and genetic material can be put into immature immune systems with no negative effects. It could be assumed that some children never respond to a vaccine. Do you know the pharmaceutical companies have never even had to prove that they work? We just believe them. No science. We have the science. They have smoke screens of opinions. No science at all. I have two unvaccinated children because my daughter Casey was my victim. She was my first little girl. My son's 10 years old. My daughter's 6 years old. They've never had a vaccine. They've never even had an ear infection. They have unbelievable God-given immune systems. And I did my own scientific experiment because my daughter was 4 when she passed and my son Corey was 2 when she passed. So I saw the difference between a fully man-made immune system compared to a fully God-made immune system. There's no comparison. He ran a 15-minute fever like God intended because fever is good. It burns up the virus. Whereas Casey would take 3 days to a week to kill the same exact virus. And that even at her death, when they finally realized what she had, they said, you got to get your son here because he has it too, bacterial meningitis. So I had my brother who was staying with him rush into the emergency room. And when we got to the hospital, to the emergency room, they asked, is he up to date on vaccines? And we're like, oh yeah, he's up to date. You don't want to go up against them. Unfortunately, they're misinformed, so they'll really treat you like the plague if you say they're not vaccinated. So just make them think that they are. Don't lie. I'm not a liar. Saying they're up to date is not lying. It's not totally giving information. So they think he's vaccinated. They'll treat you. They can actually take your children away from you. That's how misinformed they are. So just comply. If you're in their hands, just comply. Don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. They're good-hearted people, these nurses and doctors. They don't know any better. They're being taught by the pharmaceutical companies. They don't realize they're being snowed. Anyway, they take his blood and his urine. They come back out and they said, not only does he not have bacterial meningitis, but we've never seen purer blood in a little boy. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We're contaminating these babies' blood with these vaccinations. They imply that children that are not vaccinated are bad and their parents are negligent. They actually say that my unvaccinated children put their vaccinated children at risk. Does that make any sense? Exactly. But people believe that. People actually believe that unvaccinated children put vaccinated children at risk. They're telling us straight out vaccines don't work, and we still believe them. It's amazing how brain dead we are, literally. They have totally brainwashed us. This brings up the question, are vaccinations safer than actually getting the natural disease? And there's no proof of immunity anyway. Childhood diseases prepare the body for adulthood and survival. God allows these diseases to strengthen our immune system. Most of them aren't deadly. None of them are deadly, for that matter. If you have a strong immune system like an organic plant, bugs don't prey on organic plants because they're healthy plants. We don't need bug spray. It's the weaker immune systems, the weaker plants that need bug spray. Same thing. I tried to give my son chicken pox. Literally rubbed his arm up against my cousin's little girl Carly's arm, trying to give it to him because I knew it was important to have chicken pox. And he didn't catch it. I guarantee you he has the antibodies and the body. He can fight the disease right now just by being exposed to it. So most of these diseases, they get exposed to it and they build the resistance to it even though they don't break out with the disease. 90% of victims of polio didn't break out with any diseases at all. I mean, any type of symptoms, excuse me. Mothering Magazine, Measles Incident, based on all school-aged children in the U.S. who contracted measles, 32% of the children were unvaccinated and 58% of the children had the measles vaccine and still came down with measles. Next, please. In 85, 99% of the children had the vaccine. They still came out with measles. Because they're actually given the measles virus. So they're the ones that are starting the epidemic, too, when they vaccinate these kids. 86, 96%, 88, 69, 89, 89% were vaccinated. And in 1995, 56% of the children had been vaccinated. Now, can vaccines cause death? Dr. Coulter attended a committee meeting in D.C. where 10 people from 10 different countries discussed the SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, connection to vaccination. We also sponsored Dr. Ed Yazbach and Stewart back in 2003 or 4, and he showed his research validating the autism connection to vaccinations, as well as SIDS, and then also shaken baby syndrome, SBS. They're accusing parents of killing their children opposed to blaming the sacred cow. Alan Yurko, if you guys heard about him in Orlando, Florida, he got life plus 10 for killing his five-week-old little baby. After 8 years of being in there, two of our researchers and one of our attorneys that represents vaccine exemptions helped their attorney, and we got him out of prison after 8 years in prison, showing the vaccines caused his baby's death. So I tell parents today, if you choose to vaccinate your children, don't stay alone with them afterwards. If they die opposed to blaming the sacred cow, they're going to blame the parent. And I have several gentlemen I spoke to over the last 3 years that have been accused of killing their children, shaken baby syndrome. Next, please. SIDS. Australia made vaccines non-mandatory in the 70s. 50% of the parents opted out of the program, and SIDS dropped by 50% that year. Next, please. SIDS in the pertussis vaccine. Dr. William Torch, University of Nevada School of Medicine at Reno, quotes, more than two-thirds of SIDS babies have been vaccinated with DTP, that's diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, prior to death. Sometimes it takes 212 days for the child suffers with respiratory failure. The DTP is given at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months, I think. I know the first was at 2 months, and most SIDS cases are between 2 and 4 months. Next, please. Dr. Vera Schreiber. She was a principal research scientist in Australia, and she worked with the CotWatch breeding monitor. And she quoted, the most prominent stressful event in babies was studied after vaccines. Vaccines did not only prevent any infectious diseases, but caused more suffering than any other human activity in the entire history of medical intervention. It'll take decades before mopping up after disasters caused by childhood vaccines. All vaccines should be stopped, and all victims compensated. She actually worked with the monitor that did breathing patterns for premature babies, and she said that the evidence is painfully obvious. She actually retired because she was so disgusted. She read like 30,000 medical papers on the vaccines and not one paper on safety or effectiveness of the vaccinations. On our website, I have a wonderful statement by her that I recommend everybody read, and she's also agreed to come from Australia and speak so we can actually get her speaking the truth as well. There's also what's called the National Vaccine Compensation System. It's funded by a tax on the vaccine, compensates children who have suffered injury from their vaccines. Every time you give a vaccine to your child, a little bit of money goes in this compensation fund. They have 17 full-time attorneys working against the parents, and they settle $750 million in just 1 year. It's impossible to get money from these people. I mean, your child can literally pass right there, and they don't. Autism's not even on the list of vaccine injuries, unfortunately. Okay. The FDA recently acknowledged that 90% of doctors do not report vaccine reactions. There's no law making these pediatricians report a vaccine reaction. I talk to parents all the time, their baby literally has a seizure on the way home from the pediatrician's office, and the pediatrician says it's a coincidence. They're now telling parents for the new human papillomavirus, the cancer vaccine, cervical cancer for teenage little girls, to expect your child to faint after the vaccine. They're asking parents to leave your daughter there for 5 or 15 minutes after the shot because fainting is a common side effect. And parents are listening to them. It's amazing how clueless we are. There's also what's called hot lots. Michigan sent a batch of DTP vaccines to the FDA for testing, and instead of destroying the lot, they decided to test it on hundreds of children. And later, when parents of brain damaged and paralyzed children tried to sue the state, they were protected from liability. Now, the biggest question did vaccines eradicate diseases, and we're going to cover that in just a second. But I want to show you this chart first. Doctors refused the rubella vaccine. One study showed 78% of doctors refused to take the shot. Another study showed 91% of the doctors refused to take the vaccine. And this was in JAMA magazine on doctors who worked with pregnant women and gave the rubella shot, but they would not take it themselves. So I'm not quite sure how misinformed they are. I think it's fair to say they want to keep blinders on. It's their bread and butter, unfortunately. Now, did vaccines eradicate diseases? That's our biggest question. We're told the best thing since sliced bread. So let's look at it. Next. Diseases were on their way out. Epidemics have their own lifespan. According to the World Health Statistics Annual 7376, Volume 2, there has been a steady decline of infectious diseases in most developing countries, regardless of the percentage of vaccines administered. Researchers pointed out infectious diseases disappeared as a result of sanitation, improved public water supplies, personal hygiene, better distribution, and increased consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables. From 1850 to 1940, disease had declined 90% and were at an all-time low just when vaccines started to be introduced. In addition, disease, which there was never a vaccine, also declined dramatically. Imagine living in countries where there was, you were living on farms with rats and rodents and no clean water to drink or bathe with. That's where diseases came from. Next, please. Polio, specifically. We have two types of polio that were introduced, a killed virus by Jonas Salk in 1956 and a live virus by Albert Sabin in 1962. Here's the epidemic of polio. It's coming down, coming down, coming down. And then the pharmaceutical company decides to take a credit for it with a vaccination. So it was already coming down because of better sanitation and fresh fruits and vegetables. I was told by a registered nurse at one of my presentations, she said, April, they show these same charts to us in medical school, but only from this point down. The medical schools fund, the pharmaceutical companies fund the medical schools. They teach them what they want them to know. They don't care about us. All they care about is making money. Take a drug for this, take a drug for that. Next, please. Measles, almost completely eradicated. And then they introduced the vaccine to take credit for it. And then, of course, they use fear. Now chickenpox, they have a vaccine for it, so now chickenpox is a deadly disease. And we all know better than that. I was actually even warned by chiropractors when I was pregnant with my daughter not to vaccinate her, because most chiropractors are aware of the truth about vaccinations. But I didn't know where to go to, so I went to my pediatrician, and she told me Casey would die if I did not vaccinate her. And I gave in to that fear, the opposing force of God, which is what most parents do. Next, please. The pertussis vaccine decreased more than 75% before the vaccine was introduced. Another important vaccination is the tetanus vaccine. They give this to us every time we go to the emergency room. Dr. Mendelson quotes, the number of booster shots is based on guesses and not scientific evidence. The tetanus has been progressively weakened over the years to reduce considerable reactions it used to cause. Therefore, it's a good chance today's tetanus vaccine is about as effective as tap water. There are countless references to neurological disturbances, emotional instability, and many other problems found in the tetanus vaccine in the scientific literature. The Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology discussed how the tetanus vaccine caused allergic reactions, which was known as early as 1940, when JAMA recorded it in their journal. The science is inaccurate because nobody knows the true incidence of tetanus in the U.S., and proper wound management can reduce any exposure. Improved hygiene is key to less exposure. And one thing I've learned since my daughter's death is our master physician, our creator, has given us everything that we need, everything. God's natural penicillin is grapefruit seed extract, GSE it's called, to help food store. You put one drop in 1 ounce of water. You can use it as a penicillin. You can spray it in your throat if you get a sore throat. It's a bacteria. It kills everything. I keep it in my purse at all times. Wonderful. And also colloidal silver, and Gary go over a lot more stuff. But anyway, everything pharmaceutical, they all try to mimic what God has already given us, unfortunately. I'm sure you guys know a lot about that. The parents must own their own decisions when they have to. So they have to defend their choice. No time ever parents are more ready to hear the truth. If you choose to stop vaccinating your family or yourself for that matter, what should you do? Parents must be proactive in order to ensure the family's greatest health potential. Chiropractic wellness, please, if you're not getting regularly adjusted, I highly recommend it. Chiropractors believe the body has the innate ability to heal from the inside out, so they just release the blockages so God can do his job. Medical doctors go from the outside in. And God help the pharmaceutical companies, because they are my backbone. They have been, they're funding us, they're doing whatever they can. Because the victims coming into their offices and merging with them are waking people up, because everybody has it can't happen to me syndrome. So even when I was warned by them, I didn't believe it would happen to me. So I highly recommend chiropractic. Good nutrition, clean water, and an active lifestyle are all part of living healthy. Health's a lifestyle and a choice. We're either proactive and promote health, or you lose health by default. Read and know how to defend your position. I have the best books on the table over there, and I'm not trying to make money. The love of money is why these babies are injured. But if you want to continue educating yourself and help other people, please buy the books. I take all major credit cards, checks, all that. Excellent, excellent books on the table. Dr. Ted Spence wrote a great book, Neil Z. Miller, a lot of the charts I have today are from his book. But continue not only helping yourself, but please help these voiceless angels. Think about the babies within 3 hours of birth at the hospital that are getting pumped with monkey pus. That's what keeps me going. Every time I get tired and say, I'm going to throw the towel in, Casey's not here anymore, I remember those little babies. And that keeps me going. So please help spread the word. Please support our organization so the truth about vaccines can be made public knowledge. We're available to speak to your church or parenting groups. We need to reach parents, health department staff, nurses, doctors in the community. We can do that with your help. I'll speak to whoever will listen. This is what I live and breathe for, besides also sharing being a mom. But this is what I live and breathe for. Please join our membership, $25 a year, and you can. We're actually merging with Vaccination Liberation in Idaho. We're going to have a bi-yearly publication, and we also have Educate Before You Vaccinate sweatshirts with that logo that I started off with, and it has the ingredients on the back, and those are powerful because they're walking billboards. Just plant seeds. God will grow the seeds. Just plant them, please. And I have business cards that I had Federal Express here by yesterday, but they didn't get here, that have ingredients on the back of them. They have the logo on one side and ingredients on the back of them, and God had me design those years ago. But now I have two chiropractors that give me 10,000 every time I run out of them, and I have a whole two boxes waiting for me when I get back. If you call me, I'll send you those as well. They're seed planters. Just give them out to any and everybody, pregnant people, anybody for that matter, because the adult vaccines too are killing us adults as well. But I highly recommend getting those and just planting seeds. But people just don't know these things. They don't know what the ingredients are. They don't know what's going on with these vaccinations. In conclusion, we want parents to realize you do have options. You do have the right to make an informed choice. There's a lot of money in treating autism, but no money in a cure. One of the main reasons I'm here today is I wish to God somebody would share this information with me before I chose to blindly hold my daughter down and allow her to be injected. Since Casey's passing, life has not been or ever will be the same. But all I can do is thank God for giving me the strength to survive and speak the truth. So all I ask is please learn from our mistake and educate before you vaccinate. Questions, anybody? Most of you guys are pretty aware of the vaccine issue, right? Most of you have unvaccinated children. Thank God you listened to your gut. God. Yes, sir.
One of the slides said that there's $750 million paid out.
In 1 year. Mm-hmm.
But then,
It's gotten a lot harder. They're still paying out.
Okay.
They have to do it, but parents have to wait 10 years for it.
Fight.
They have 17 full-time attorneys working against us. And they still have paid out that kind of money. So they're definitely paying out, but they're having to, and a lot more don't get compensated. Any other questions? Sir?
I work in healthcare, and I'm a sensitive to things I hear, I guess, maybe, but there's really increasing a lot of the commercials.
I've heard so many more commercials on how autism is now 1 in 66 or something.
Mm-hmm, 1 in 66. Mm-hmm.
And then they really seem to be devoting a lot of airtime to all of this. Is that just to promote their cure for it? Or?
Yeah, anything that you see on television, their controlled opposition, I call them. Even when they had a couple of friends of mine from Unlocking Autism and Safe Minds, which are two large autism groups, they had Lynn Redwood and Shelley Reynolds on there on Montel Williams. It was all about the mercury. And even that's why I said you guys have heard about the mercury and vaccines problem, because so many parents have been going public with it. But even back then, the Holy Spirit very clearly showed me, don't endorse reinforce that message, because all they're going to do is use that to their advantage by saying, go get a mercury-free vaccine, your child will be fine. And actually, the vice president of my nonprofit listened to that message, took her daughter in, Selena, in, to get a mercury-free vaccine. Her daughter almost died on the way home from the hospital, from the pediatrician's office. So I couldn't endorse that message. But don't, anything you see, when Gary and I watch TV, is to see what their agenda is. Everything is being funded by the pharmaceutical companies approve anything that you see on the media. You're not going to see us on TV. They will never allow it. They'll let you talk about the mercury. They'll let you talk about, you know, walk the fence, I say. They let you, you know, half-truths. But as far as the full truth, it's not going to happen. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Sure.
Right now, you know, I'm in my 40s, and I've had vaccines and that kind of thing. I got a bunch of kids, too, but for instance, say, Thimerosal, is there any kind of supplement or any regimen that we can take to try to remove the mercury from our bodies and brains and whatever?
Absolutely, and Gary's going to go into that in more detail. He uses an organic zeolite, which is a mineral God's given us, the folic and humic acid that bonds to the heavy metals and pulls them out, as well as a detox kit. He'll explain all that to you. That's his specialty, treating. I show the cause, and he shows how to fix the solution. So yes, I'll give you all that information. Any other? You can always call later, too. I know this is kind of overwhelming for people that aren't aware of everything, so once it sinks in and you have questions, feel free to call. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. I think now we're going to be eating, Mark? Okay. And then please, whoever is, don't leave after, because the answers are coming up with Gary. He'll give you, he's the wisest man I knew. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to ask Marcel to have a blessing for the food, and then after we eat, take a little bit of break, some questions and answers. I'll be here, and let me see, 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock, let's start back up, and that will give Gary more time, so then he'll start his presentation. So I will prepare him up for the food.
Father in heaven, we come before you once more. We thank you for this valuable information that you have just given us. We also thank you, Father, for the food that we now are now about to eat. We ask your blessing upon it, that it may strengthen us, give us good health. We ask you to be with us after the meal in our conversations. We ask you all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We got about 5 minutes before they're ready, roughly. So we'll start the line quite yet. The soup's not quite done, but we'll let everybody know when it's ready. Yeah.